The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Back on the line with me today from South Florida at Palm Beach Atlantic University, I have Dr. Marina Hoffman on the line. She was with me, I believe, around August of this past year. A delightful professor, a wonderful believer, an author, and she's got a new book we're going to be talking about that is just in time for the Christmas season. Dr. Hoffman, Marina, it's great to have you back. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be back, and I just love talking about God's faithfulness, especially in women in the Bible, so thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, it's my joy, and I know our listeners are going to just love this chat because, again, it is appropriate for this time of year. We've got now just a couple of weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, for Christmas. It's hard to believe. It's kind of rushed on us this year. And I, for one, I have to tell you, I am excited, Marina. Last Christmas, my wife and I both were suffering from the COVID mess that was going on. And we did not get to have a Christmas. We sat alone in our home. And for my sickest 2 days were the 24th and 25th. I am very excited about this year. I am grateful for health and asking God to be with all of our listeners as well, because that was not a fun experience.
Yeah, and for us, Mike, we got to go out to events we didn't get to do last year. We've been to Handel's Messiah and a living nativity drama, and having a 3.5-year-old, it's so special to see the wonder in her eyes, just being able to connect with the Christmas story in such a real way. And I have a little video clip of her just looking at me in wonder and awe, saying, "The baby Jesus has been born," when it finally happened in the play. So it's a special time of year, and so special when God opens the door for us to do the extra things that I think help us to tap into the message of Christmas.
You know, it is so true, you know, special events like that and concerts and things that go on in our churches, those really do support and give, especially our children, a little bit of wonder and a twinkle in their eye and a memory that they're going to carry all throughout their life. And now you talked about your daughter. I know that I remember from our last conversation, she is a bit of a miracle child, isn't she?
She is. We talked last time a bit about my testimony. You know, 7 years ago, we were in a car wreck. We were driving 70 miles an hour. Someone came straight on us at 70 miles an hour. So that combined impact was worse than standing in front of a moving train. And you can imagine the number of people who survived that is zero. So God was so gracious and faithful, and he did more than we could ask or imagine in preserving our lives that day. And within about a week, the danger of our physical bodies had passed, and we knew we would survive physically. But as you know, Mike, that kind of life-changing moment is traumatic. And to make matters worse, in my case, I had a significant brain injury. I wasn't able to speak. I had no memories of the past. So it was a long road to recovery, overcoming depression and anxiety and learning to trust in God day by day. Mm. Not only that he saved my life, but would he give me the strength to get out of bed and face all the challenges of life? And then, Mike, to find out after a couple of years that the likelihood of having a child was on some piece of paper from the doctor, 0.0001. I don't know how the doctor comes up with that, but how
that
discouraging.
Is not much of a chance in that number.
No. And, you know, there was actually a sense of relief for me because I had been trying so hard to have a perfect diet and to not get stressed out and all the things they advise. But in that moment, I could lift the burden from my human effort and give it to God entirely and say, "Lord, this impossible situation is in your hands." And I almost, Mike, didn't dare to ask God. I felt so unworthy, but you know, I said, Lord, if there's any chance, if you can give me a child, and maybe some of your listeners will think of Hannah's vow, right? If you give me this child, I'll do all I can to raise this child for you and to see myself as her mom, as an instrument of who you are to her. And sure enough, my God answered our prayer with the miracle of our little Willow, who is now 3 and a half.
Mm. 3 and a half years old. What a wonderful season she's going to have this year for Christmas. That is the perfect age, and I love the description you gave us, the look of wonder in her eye as she watched that and got to see the manger and got to see the baby Jesus portrayed. That is such a beautiful thing, and it really does. It makes Christmas very special all over again for parents when they see their child get to view something like that.
Yeah, and it's such an honor and a privilege and a responsibility to have someone in your life who you can introduce to Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in Jesus, and even the life that God offers, living by the Holy Spirit and having the fruits of the Spirit. So, of course, she doesn't understand all of the metaphorical language exactly, but it's a powerful way of evangelism, isn't it, Mike, when you have children in your life or even adults who don't know Christ, and you get to introduce them in your words and your actions. And it's funny that we talk about this, because really that is an easy connection to Mary, isn't it? This whole theme of really bearing Christ to others.
It is indeed. I had one more question, though, before we go into that book that you've written. And I know it really does specifically draw out the character of Mary, and it's called Women in the Bible Small Group Bible Study. And it's really, again, appropriate because of its emphasis on Mary. But I'm going to go back to that first miracle, the miracle of your survival, for a moment. When a lot of people have such accidents as what you had, and if our listeners just tuned in, they were involved. You, I believe it was you and your husband were both in that car, right?
Yes.
140 miles an hour, two vehicles head on collision going 70. It had to be amazing for you guys to survive. Were the people in the other automobile, did they survive as well? I can't recall that.
No, the driver, a single driver, he didn't survive. And Mike, both vehicles were totally pancaked, but we had a big gas guzzler, boxy SUV, and that titanium frame really stopped the car from driving into us, although my husband's car engine had driven into his body. So it literally, our own engine pushed Larry's hip out of his body. So he had a lot of injuries because the driver's side was hit more. But, you know, Mike, even in that moment where his life flashed before him, he really thought that he would not survive. He didn't see any way out. And what he did, right as all the brakes and the steering wheel disengaged and broke, with the seatbelt on, he threw his body on top of me. And it was overwhelming to think of his love for me and just that God guided that action. But that saved my life, both because he held my head I could have had a worse brain injury, of course. But the other thing is I had 4 lacerations to my bowels from this seatbelt. And if those airbags had deployed on me, I would have died on the spot. And the surgeon had no idea. Well, Mike, would you believe that I had almost no bruising on my body? Because Larry, my husband, threw himself, his own body on top of me and took all the airbags. So my poor husband was purple for months, solid purple. And yet through that selfless act, you know, Mike, if I can share one more detail, in that selfless act, not only was I saved, he saved himself, because the engine was sitting in the driver's seat. And everyone kept saying that, you know, the sheriff, our detective in Canada comes and says, how are you alive? Like, the computer has no output that reconstructs this accident that you live. And he told this story and he said, well, my seatbelt was on, but I wasn't in my own seat. I had thrown myself into the passenger side. So can you believe it even came back to save his own life?
And that is amazing that he was able to do that with that belt. And so there are several really inexplicable details about this that really support what you said. It is a miracle. I think everyone would agree. If you can live through, like you said, a speeding freight train, which is functionally 140 miles an hour of yeah. energy and impact, God receives the glory for the fact that you survived. And, you know, you'd gone through years of study. You were just on your way, literally on your way to becoming what you are today. But that should have, by everyone's estimation, that should have really been a career-stopping accident. But God had other plans, and anything that God says he's going to do, he does. He's Amen. Faithful. And I just felt that important thing. Do you remember the impact? Is that something you remember?
You know, in great contrast to my husband, who could tell the story and it would take him 10 minutes to give you the details, I only have one single detail. I looked up, saw the car coming and thought, oh, I'm dead. And I did absolutely nothing to save my life.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, that is a true miracle story. Marina, thank you for sharing that. Now, let's jump to the book that you've written. This had to be for you. I know that your heart, just for our listeners, Marina is a Bible professor, Bible and theology professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University. That's one of those universities that we just love here at The Shepherd. It's not only in Palm Beach, but there's a great chapter of it in Orlando. And our good friend Joe Sharp, he's there, and I'm getting with Joe just in a couple of days. So I'm looking forward to that. But you've written this new book, and this is not your only book, right? I mean, you've written before, correct?
I have a lot of publications, but they're not as exciting, Mike. They're more academic and not in the same appeal that Women in the Bible, a Bible study has.
Hmm. Well, this one is called Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. It is available on Amazon, and you also have a study video series that you've developed with this as well, and that's available at womeninthebible.info, and we'll be giving that web address out again. But talk a little bit about this book and what was going on in your mind. Grateful that you survived with... with your mind and your love for the Lord, and really it got to still do what you were studying so hard to become when that accident happened. I am grateful that God is continuing to use you. What was going on with your heart and the motivation behind this particular book?
Well, as my brain injury began to heal, I returned to my scholarship, and at first I just thought, you know, let me read these stories afresh. And did they ever speak to me? Here I had been studying them for many years, and yet I hadn't looked for what they would say to someone who was suffering greatly and anxious and depressed and isolated and feeling as though my very identity as a person and as in Christ, my faith, all these things I had to re-examine. And I was amazed the comfort and encouragement I found in these stories of women in the Bible. And in many ways, I felt they spoke to my life directly, almost becoming friends as I read and reread their stories and found such great encouragement. And then I started to lead a Bible study at my church. And really, this book came out of that because all the other leaders kept asking me how they could get a copy of the book. And I just had some notes and handouts. So I thought, well, let me put it together and give a voice to these women in the Bible and their stories and help bring to light all they can speak to in women's lives and all of our lives, that they can encourage us and let us know that God will use women, because God always has used women to do great things for his kingdom on earth.
I believe that. I believe it's an exalted position that God has given the women, and I am grateful for it. And, you know, when you were thinking about Mary in particular, I love that the fact that you said your academics, you worked hard at this. This is something that you do, and it's part of your nature to study and research. As you looked at Mary, what do you remember thinking right off in the bat about her character and what made the Christmas story as lived out by Mary so special?
Well, Mike, I thought I'd be in a bit of trouble, because every time I think of Mary, I can't help but picture her looking perfect, with a halo, and her child is sitting so perfect and still on her lap. And I thought, how on earth can I connect this story, in addition to all the scholarship, to women today? And again, I, you know, read the story and I thought, how is her life like mine? And in that moment where the angel comes and gives Mary a whole new identity and purpose and mission in life, everything changed so dramatically. And I think that is something we can all connect with, because we never thought that the last 2 years would be as they have been. And many of us have dreams and visions of the future that were changed, and we had to adapt so dramatically to a change that happened so quickly. So I think that's one point in which from the beginning we connect with Mary. And then, Mike, we can look at her calling. What is Mary called to do? At the very base, she's called to bear Christ. And she does so literally. And we don't bear Christ literally, of course. And yet our call is to bear Christ through our words, through our actions, to all those around us. So it is not a far jump from Mary's beautiful story to bear Christ, to support Jesus in his ministry, and to bring that ministry and mission to everyone around her. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we do. And even as parents, we can relate to bearing Christ to those we live with, especially, you know, young children, raising them up to be godly and righteous and follow the Lord.
You know, one of my favorite organizations in the Central Florida area, I'm so privileged to know them, is the Choices Women's Clinic. And they just reached out with an email that I happened to read. And a reference was made to the birth of Christ in a most unusual, for me, it felt unique. I don't think I'd ever heard it expressed this way before. But Mary's situation with Joseph was, as they put in this email, an unplanned/planned pregnancy. And boy, I thought, how well spoken is that? It was unplanned for Mary. What a shock that had to be to Mary and to Joseph. We know it was. In fact, we know the Bible records what his reactions were going to be. He was going to honorably put her away and in, and, you know, so that she wouldn't have the shame and all. But you know what? God had plans for this that was beyond them. So while it was unplanned for Mary's standpoint, it was not unplanned from God's standpoint. It was all his plan.
Yeah, and you know, she went through so many of the struggles that young women do today and feeling alone. And what did Mary do? I love, Mike, that she goes to be with Elizabeth. It's such a strong reminder that we need support, whether through an organization like Choices or hopefully also through the people in our lives. And in Mary's case, she didn't go to her parents, right? We don't know anything about that story. But here, Elizabeth offers that support and help. And God places Elizabeth as a sign to Mary. God does the impossible in Elizabeth's life. And what an encouragement for Mary to have faith that God will do the same for her.
Mm, I agree. And we're going to be back with Marina in a moment. This is Marina Hoffman. She's a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University and just a delightful woman of God and an author of this new book. And the book is called Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. I know a lot of ladies love to study the Bible. This is a perfect one for this time of year. We'll be back with Marina in a moment. Stay tuned. This is Afternoons with Mike. On the line today with a repeat guest, Dr. Marina Hoffman from Palm Beach Atlantic University. She's calling in on the line, and she's down in her home area in West Palm Beach, and it's great to talk with her. This new book, Women in the Bible, she's been telling us a little bit about it. You know, we were talking about Mary and all of the things that Mary was going through, and what a shock it was when that angel spoke to Mary, and she finds herself now in a condition that no one, you know, you talk about a miracle, no one could have ever believed it, no one would believe it. And yet that's what it was. And that's the beautiful thing about God. If God says something is going to happen, miracle or not, it is going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. And you were talking about Mary's calling. I'd like to stay with that for a moment and ask you the question, how do we know what God has called us to? I'm sure there are ladies that are listening right now, and they might have just been given a bit of news that is as surprising to them as what Mary's was. It wouldn't be that surprising, but it is very surprising. How do we know that what it is that God's called us to?
Yes, you know, I think some of us can struggle with that and ask, what is the bigger purpose of my life? And I think certainly some of us want to make a huge difference and have a huge legacy. And I think those dreams are beautiful and wonderful to pray for and to ask God for. And I do myself. But I know, Mike, that my greatest calling and my greatest impact will be in the life of my daughter. And what a beautiful position to be in, to exemplify Christ and to say, this is who Jesus is. Look at my life. Look at the way I talk to you, the way I treat you, the way I build her up and do all I can to never judge her or compare her to others, and to be patient. And that's probably every parent's biggest challenge, right? Being patient all the time. But what a gift we have. And even after having Willow and learning to be far more aware of my impact on others, I think God has given me the opportunity to extend that to everyone else in my life, whether someone I meet at church, at work, my husband for certain. You know, how can we impact the people around us? Can we try to live lives that are aware of what God is doing and to be Christ to others? And of course, to do so by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes of the new series called The Chosen. Have you watched that?
Mike, you told me about it last time, and as I promised on air, yes, I've started to watch it. And as you said, what a beautiful portrayal of women all the way through. So thank you. Yes, I watch it now because of you.
Well, that's good to know. We're excited about that. And, you know, when I think back, one of the things that we get to see in that video, in that portrayal, is the fact that Mary was very involved, as we know, as was Joseph, up until the point that we read about him in the Bible, but they were involved with him on a day-to-day basis. And that's something that I believe a lot of people, they lose the moment. And see if you agree with this. They lose the moment of how special that day is in their child's life because they've got this whole big future thing and the responsibility of all of the things. It's so easy to lose the single day, the present, in raising a child. Do you agree with that?
I do. And all of us will say, you know, time is flying by faster and faster. And it's something I grappled with very profoundly 7 years ago when I almost lost my life. And I wondered, what have I done that had any meaning? And maybe that was made all the harder because I didn't have memories. And, you know, Mike, this really connected to my sense of Christianity and relationship to the Lord. I thought, what have I done of any significance to earn God saying good and faithful servant? So these are certainly issues that I've dealt with. And where I've landed is to say, can I be present every single day? And that is so hard, isn't it? When there's so many voices around us, so many things to do, and our phones constantly going off. But if there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that the most beautiful, sacred moments are when I shut down everything, put my computers, all of my electronics in another room on silence, and simply sit down on the floor and do a puzzle with my daughter. And of course, the first few minutes, all I think about is how many things I have to do. But eventually, I learn to be present in the moment. And what greater joy is there to be present with someone and to give another human being that gift of bonding, of humanity, of relationship, and just to enjoy one another. And Mike, apart from any kind of theology, I feel somehow that I tap into a greater sense of who God made me to be as a human being and what it means to be in God's image when we have those beautiful moments with others, and how easy for a child, because she doesn't have all those distractions, that can so easily draw us away.
I think what you're saying is exactly the truth. And I think a lot of parents are finding out that there is almost like an addictive element to screen time right now that's going on that almost every adult in America is dealing with, whether they realize they're dealing with it or not. And this was simply just not one of the distractions in my childhood growing up. But boy, I agree with you. And I think that thing that you described doing, where you put away your phone, you put it on silent, get it out of your sight, and force yourself, if it is in the beginning, it's awful to have to say that, but sometimes I think people have to force themselves into a moment where they can just rest and enjoy their young person, that they've got their child right in front of them, and do something that is at their level and love it. For a 3.5-year-old, as you've got right now, you have to just put these adult worries, the adult distractions, out of the way and enjoy Willow.
Yes, Mike, there was a moment I'd like to share too, which was a long time ago. She was a little infant in my arms and she had fallen asleep. And I thought, well, this is nice. I'll sit with her, rock her, hold her while she's sleeping. And of course, go on my phone. And here I was getting wrapped up and responding to one email after another. And at some point I glanced at her and she had woken up. She was still in my arms, but she was looking at me. And Mike, I felt horrible in that moment. I think the Lord really used it to say, you are so distracted by all the little things that maybe aren't even necessary to do. And you have lost this moment where your tender little girl was looking at you, trying to connect, and you were looking away. So in that moment, Mike, I decided to be a two-handed mom, meaning I was going to hold my little infant who was so light and I could easily hold her with one hand and my phone in the other. I was not going to do that. And of course, there are moments in real life where we have to answer the phone and send emails. But what a moment for me to realize if I made the effort to hold her with two hands and to look at her and not my phone, my life would be so much richer. And everyone who's been around a baby knows that those, that age where they just stare at their mom for hours, it goes by so quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I can tell you, since my youngest out of four, my youngest recently turned 30. So if that lets you know how quickly those moments pass by. But I can remember, Marina, just as clear as if it were yesterday, I can remember how joyful I was and how it seemed that we were always going to be together, the six of us, my four kids, and we were there. And the future, again, it's impossible to realize how fast those moments, the present, passes by. But it does. And then one day, you're like where I am. And you've raised now four of them, and your youngest is 30. And oh my gosh, it's just so important to do exactly what you're doing. And that's what I love. Going back to Mary, that's what I love about what you've written about her, because she had this calling, as you described it, on her life, and she had to accept that calling as difficult. She didn't have to deal with this thing. I love the two-handed mom picture that you've given us. Oh, that we would all become two-handed parents, not holding our child with one hand while we hold our cell phone or iPad in the other and kind of having our attention pulled. She had to accept the call to not only bear Christ, but to raise the Christ child. What an amazing responsibility that was.
And Mike, to know that her fulfillment of that responsibility and that she fulfills and responds to the call of the angel had not just implications for the life of Jesus, but for all of us who continue to benefit from her legacy, her life as an example in the Gospel of Luke, but also the impact she made. You know, I think, Mike, even of her role in the early church, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon everyone, waiting to bring the message and ministry of Jesus to the world. So what a powerful response to God's call and an outcome that she could have had no idea the lasting impact her life would have.
Yeah, I'm sure she couldn't have foreseen it. We talked a while ago about that, the whole thing about the future that every parent goes through, and you can't imagine what the future is going to hold. No, nobody knows that. We all know that. But we try to, and it doesn't stop us from trying at times. But Mary, all she had was the promise. But that is enough. If we have the promise, if we can see that, and I think that's part of the key to ending distractions in our life and just really meditating upon God, if we can see and suddenly perceive, and it's different there. We can see something, but yet not believe it in our own heart. But if we can perceive in our heart that God who promises is faithful, and that's what Mary had to grab a hold of and believe, that no matter what happened, the Holy Spirit, who had done this amazing thing, had overshadowed her. He did this marvelous miracle. And the great news is the Holy Spirit is still working in our lives today.
Yeah, and I think one important point in what you're talking about for Mary is that today in our culture, there seems to be such a push to our feelings. And facts so often play a secondary role. It doesn't matter the reality. It's how we feel and how we emotionally respond to things. And, you know, if Mary had just emotionally responded, would she have believed the angel? We can't know. But there's a time and place, I think, in the lives of people of faith to say, even if I don't feel a certain way, I will tap into my faith and I will choose to believe. And I think that is the very moment that when this angel comes, Mary says, you know what, there's so many impossible angles to this call of the angel. And how can I do this? And how can the Lord do it? But none of those questions matter to Mary. She chose to believe that the angel's words would come true and that it was possible somehow, even though she couldn't see it. And I think that's such a important reminder to us today that, you know, our feelings matter, our emotion matters. But when we don't feel the presence of the Lord, or when we don't feel that God is working in our lives, to then move forward in faith and say, I will choose to believe. And you know, Mike, I don't say that lightly. I had that moment after my accident. I didn't know if I would ever talk again or really think or be able to take care of myself. I didn't know if my husband was alive. I'm sure I was told, but I couldn't hold on to it. And in that moment, my feelings, I'm glad I didn't put any trust in them. In that moment, I remember saying, God, I vaguely remember everything you've said. I vaguely remember your promises. But the bottom line is, in this moment, you're in control and I will live because Christ is within me. And what a beautiful moment in our life when we can just lay the claims of God and put our feelings aside for a moment.
You know, one of the expressions that Mary gave us, it's recorded in the Word, is that she pondered those words in her heart. And that phrase, she pondered, she thought deeply. She took them and meditated upon the promises that the angel had given her. And that is something right there that Mary did that every woman can do, that every man can do. We can ponder, we can think deeply upon, we can meditate upon. And when we do, those words that were spoken to us, actually given to us from God, those things become much more than just something we hear or head knowledge. They go right down deep into our heart.
Yes, and the beauty of Mary pondering these things is that she was willing to give it some time. And I love that she doesn't only react on the spot, but she's willing to see if God's words will come about, and she's willing to wait. And what a beautiful picture. And I sometimes, when I read the story of Mary, I think of Gideon, and he asked for so many signs, right? He
yeah,
needed one after another.
Did.
And I think if we need to respond right away, we want a sign right away to make sure it's true. But what a beautiful example for Mary to pause, to ponder, to wait and see how God will bring it about without needing to jump into doubts and the need for proof. So again, a beautiful reflection on the theme of waiting in Scripture and the value of waiting. And sometimes I think when we ponder the things of God deeply, we reach a whole new level of faith in what God is able to do.
You know, the same Holy Spirit that did all of this in Mary's heart and overshadowed her, He helps us. The Bible talks, Jesus spoke to his disciples in the book of John, and he said, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit today. And I love this. He will bring back. And what a beautiful promise this is, not just to those in that day, but to us as well. He will bring back to our remembrance every word spoken by Jesus. What a comforting promise that is.
And what a gift, you know, the Holy Spirit who does all these things in the New Testament, the power of the Holy Spirit that brought Christ to earth, that God has given us the gift of the same Holy Spirit.
It's powerful, true. Now, one of the things, we're up against another break coming up in just a moment, but you've written this or recorded a video series as well. Tell us just a little bit about that, if you will.
Yeah, you know, Mike, might surprise your listeners, but I feel very intimidated to do small groups. I don't have all kinds of time to prepare, and I never really know how to start. So with that in mind, I created these video series so that other leaders don't have to worry about how to start. It's as simple as playing a video on the television in 7 minutes of just a way to start the group talking and engaging and offering a personal aspect and reflection on these stories. And they're free, as you said, no ads, no need for an email. They're just freely accessible.
And they're available at womeninthebible.info. That's womeninthebible.info. And, you know, again, we talked about this earlier, but I know that my own wife loves to get these kinds of resources and be able to do these studies that are so helpful. And they really do. They open up the character of the subject that they're studying in a very special way. And it really does bring the Bible even more into clear view as they take part in these video Bible studies like what you've done. So thank you for that. My guest today is Marina Hoffman. She is a professor of Bible and theology at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach. But there's also a great campus here in Orlando. I'll be back with Marina coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back on the line today with me is Marina Hoffman. Dr. Hoffman is a professor of Bible and theology at Palm Beach Atlantic University down in South Florida. And, you know, when we hear people who survive an accident like you, not only you, but your husband as well, and you hear the story, and, it's just so often we think about this terrible tragedy. Even this past weekend, with the storms that have rolled through Kentucky and so much damage there, so many lives lost. You know, when things are difficult, when things like that happen, it can leave one in a real state here at the holiday season. And we know that Christmas is often referred to as one of the most difficult times emotionally for people. But, you know, that's what the promise that I'm hearing you say, that not only God gave you, but God gave you in your study of Mary, how to deal with some difficult times and difficult situations and an uncertain future.
You know, the call of Mary being so impossible in a general sense, I think, is one thing we can all relate to, Mike. And I know there was a time in my life, a long time of several months, where getting out of bed and taking care of myself, just the basic daily needs, often felt impossible. And I know some of your listeners have been there, where they just lay in bed in the morning and think, God, I don't know if I can face this day. I don't know if I can overcome my challenges, if I can somehow restore the broken relationships in my life and all the challenges we have. And yet we serve a God who is so faithful. And I can testify that in my own life, when I was weakest, truly God was strongest. Mm. And in many, many mornings, Mike, I thought, you know, today I feel so weak, but I'm going to surrender that to God, because that means that today I get to go in God's strength. And again, it comes back to feelings often, doesn't it? When we don't necessarily feel God's strength, we know the promises of God. We know that he's been faithful and that he is working in us a beautiful testimony. And that is, I think, one of the greatest motivations to go forward, right? A willing heart to follow God, and then that trust that God will see us through whatever he has called us to do, whatever the day will bring.
And this can happen, and it does happen time and time again with people who are facing difficult situations, maybe depression, as you did, from an accident, because, again, I can't imagine what it was like for you when you're injured and laid up and you've had this severe brain injury, and then you began to be aware of the what was at least temporarily taken away from you, the ability to use even language and not being able to speak. All of those things can bring fear, but God is able, if we keep our minds stayed on him, he is able to bring us through, and that's exactly what he did for you.
Yeah, and so many people ask me, how did I find courage and get over all my fear and anxiety? And Mike, the truth is that I didn't. I was sitting on the couch one morning, and it had been about 3 months since our accident, and I felt so hopeless and helpless. And I thought, if I could only get up the strength to get in the car and get some snacks, I could make something nice and feel better, right? There's a time for chocolate when all else fails.
I think there's always a time for chocolate.
Yes, the Lord has given us chocolate. So there I was on the couch, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, Mike, just contemplating how I wish I could do it. And, you know, I think it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and said, God saved my life and he preserved it, but he didn't preserve it so that I can just sit on a couch and live in fear. And if I was going to cave into that fear, then I would have a different sort of death, a slow and painful and isolated death. So in that moment, Mike, in complete fear and complete anxiety, I got into the car and I drove along the dirt path. We had moved into a very quiet community for me, and there was not even a stop sign between me and the grocery store. So picture the easiest drive ever. I made it there and I made it back. Nothing wrong happened. And I realized in that moment that maybe my future was not about overcoming fear, but about moving forward in fear, but also in faith. And that it wasn't about me overcoming fear. It was about my decision to trust God. And because nothing happened, I actually did have reduced fear. And it was really in facing my fears over and over that I eventually became courageous. And you know, Mike, that's often the story of women in the Bible too. It's not that they had no fear. It's that they feared God more than anything else.
That would be something if we can all get a hold of that one today. There's going to be fear every day of our lives. There's going to be problems. We're going to have those until Jesus comes again. But the good news is he is with us as well. And though the enemy would like to sift us, the Lord has promised that he'll be right there. And what a blessing that promise is. In your book, you talk about the life of Mary again, and she's referred to so often. And in the book of Luke, there's a scene where a woman calls out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus gives kind of an unusual answer. "Blessed rather," he says, "are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Now, I know in your study, you offer a perspective on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people take offense to that, as if Jesus is maybe negating or downplaying the blessedness of his mother. But I don't read it that way at all. I think he absolutely embraces the fact that his mother was so blessed, and this woman is correct. But then Jesus expands what she said to be an invitation to all of us to enter the great and profound blessing that was upon Mary. And how is that so? Jesus lays it out so simply. Those who hear the word of God and obey it. And we are blessed today because we can easily hear the word of God. To hear the word of God is simply to open up the Bible and to read the words of God. And if we're willing to lay down our life and say, I will choose God, I will choose to obey these words and follow God's plan of life for me, then we enter into the blessedness that was upon Mary. So it's a very profound statement Jesus makes. And again, one that draws us to connect to the life of Mary and all that God blessed her with, God's favor upon Mary, mm-hmm. and to realize incredibly that that's for us as well.
I love that word favor, because that is something that, again, like Mary, who had found favor, the favor of God was upon her, but God gives us favor as well. And we are able, if we trust, if we ask, if we seek, then the Lord's favor can be upon everyone who's listening today, in spite of what future you've just been given, or maybe it was a phone call from a doctor. You know, a dear friend of mine just got a word from a doctor, and it was not what they wanted to hear. But, you know, their response is, we are trusting the Lord. And that's what we all can do, because God's favor has been given to us. And that blessing that Mary was able to walk in, we can have the favor of God walking us through the situations that face us today.
That's so beautiful, Mike, and your sentiments have been an encouragement to me as well. And I often think, you know, we talk so much in my classes at university about the promise of God throughout the Old Testament, that if we will obey God, we will be blessed. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Does it mean that we'll have no troubles, perfect health, perfect finances? No, it doesn't mean that. And we know that those who are righteous often go through trials and suffering. And yet there's a sense in that when we surrender our life to Jesus, we have a blessing, because we live in the favor of God. We live in the presence of God. And one example that's been true in my life is the words we say. When we surrender to God our words and we say that we will be people of truth, how easy life becomes, because we never need to lie or wonder what we told this person or that person and remember all the exaggerated things we've said. It's an easier life to follow God and to serve God. And I think there's such a blessedness that does come for all people when we choose the path of righteousness, and the comfort to know that whatever comes our way, God is truly with us. And bad things will happen, Mike, but so will good things. And I think remembering the promises of God, that God can do more than we can ask or imagine. And there's a whole world of possibility that we haven't even dreamt of that God has in store for us.
I agree. And, you know, I think a lot of people, they forget the simplicity of the gospel. It really is simple and easy enough for everyone who reads it to understand it and get it. But I think one of the reasons why it is so difficult for people to grab real true hold of that in their own heart is that they have to almost leave their efforts and their work, if you will, and what they could do to earn a way. They have to leave that on the table, because it's not going to be part of the equation. God has done for us more than we could ever do for ourselves. And that is hard. It really is hard for people who are used to, and maybe draw a lot of maybe their own security from their own efforts. But that's something, the favor of God is something that we cannot work for.
Yeah, and when does the Bible say that Mary is favored? Before she has done anything, right? The first words of the angel to Mary, blessed are you who are highly favored. And she has not had a call from God. She has not responded. She has not raised Jesus and then continued to serve God. Just who she is. And it's a reminder for us, Mike, who we are as God has created us is a person that God already favors, apart from all the busyness of the things we do that we think will win us favor with God.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Marina Hoffman is my guest today on the program, a professor of Bible and theology at Palm Beach Atlantic University in West Palm Beach. And this book that you've written, I know it's going to be an encouragement. It's going to be something that I believe people can really enjoy this Christmas season. Help them understand the character of Mary more, and use that as a springboard to really just having a blessed Christmas season more than ever. What final words do you have for us today before we come to the end of this program?
You know, the final word of the angel to Mary seems so fitting for us today. The angel finishes off this beautiful call to Mary by saying, no word of God will ever fail. And that to me is a reminder of a couple things. One, dive into God's word, know the promises of God so that that can be an anchor for our life and that we know what we're putting our faith in. And we can talk about the promises of God so easily, but it's important to know what the details are, to know that God promises to never leave us or forsake us, and many promises throughout God's word. And I think if we can anchor our life in the promises of God, then we will have such assurance and faith. And it's the antidote to fear and depression and anxiety. And Mike, the other point is to remind ourselves of the promises of God and how beautiful when that comes through others in our life. And that's really one of the main reasons I made this Bible study, because in a time where people have been so isolated and friendships, sadly, in many cases have ended. I have a best friend I haven't seen in 2 years now, but God's call is for us to support one another, to love one another, to encourage one another. And for those people out there, Mike, who have no friends and who think, well, that sounds great, but I have no one in my life. Maybe if they lead a Bible study and pinpoint some women in their church that seem to be godly and kind and good, maybe God will bless them through the 8-week study to find beautiful friendships that will go on for months and years of their life and be a source of God's word to them.
I think that's a great word. And for those that would be listening, that would apply to, jump on it, do it, check it all out. You can go and find the video series at womeninthebible.info. That's womeninthebible.info. Do you have any other contact information that you could give us?
Everything is on my website. And if they want to follow me for words of encouragement, they can look me up on Instagram at Marina Hoffman.
Instagram at Marina Hoffman. That's spelled H-O-F-M-A-N. One F, one N. And Marina, I can't tell you how great it's been to have you back on the program today. We got to do it again in the future, okay?
Thank you, and I really hope your listeners have been encouraged today and just reminded of God's favor upon them apart from anything they've done and how much God loves and cares about them.
Dr. Marina Hoffman, my guest from Palm Beach Atlantic University. And friends, that brings us to the end today. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.